don't know whether we can make a siyum on the shlichus figures, but we'll try to finish up a little bit of some of the inyanim of shlichus today. Maybe we'll go over the next week, and then we'll move on to other somewhat related figures. So we spent a lot of time talking about the individuals who are excluded from the dinim of shlichus. So we highlighted the fact that there's no shlichus d'vaveira. We spoke a lot in the previous year about the fact that there's no shlichus for a goy. There is a somewhat related halacha, and the Gemara talks about it in the beginning of the second part of Kiddushin, and then in Maseches Gittin, about the following situation. What if you have an individual who is what's called Eina B'Teiras? It means, I want to appoint the Shalich to do something, but that Shalich himself has no shaychas, he has no connection to this particular type of a chalos. That means he couldn't do it for himself, even if he would have wanted to. Let's say, going back to some of the original examples of shlichus, when I appoint the shliach to separate truma on my behalf, so he has a shaychus to the midst of truma. It means if he had his own produce, he could be mafresh his own truma. Well, let's say if I appoint somebody to serve as a shliach to be mekadesh anisha for me, so if he would want to be mekadesh anisha for himself, he could have also been mekadesh anisha. I appoint someone to sell a field for me. If he would have had his own field, he could have sold the field. So in all the classic cases of shlichus, so the shliach is betoras, that particular chalos that I'm attempting to serve him as a, he's attempting to serve as my shliach for. What if the halacha would be if I appoint someone as a shliach who, even if he himself would have wanted to accomplish that chalos with his own property and his own behalf, he wouldn't have been able to do so. So that's the Gemara gives us an example. What's called an Eina B'Teiras Gittin V'Kiddushin. The Gemara raises the following question: what would it then be if a person appoints a shliach in the realm of Gittin? Let's say the case that the Gemara gives is that a woman wants to receive her get. We mentioned in the past that a woman doesn't have to receive her get herself. She can appoint a shliach on her behalf. So what if the shliach that she appoints is an Eved Kana'ani? Now an Eved Kana'ani is at least partially Jewish, technically Jewish in certain areas of halacha, so he's not considered to be a goy. If I were to appoint an Eved Kana'ani to separate truma, I could do that. If I were to appoint an Eved Kana'ani to sell property for me, I could do that. But what if a woman appoints an Eved Kana'ani to serve as her shaliach to receive a get on her behalf? So that's what the Gemara says, the buck stops here. The Gemara says that an Eina Eved Nasa Shaliach, the Kabbalah Isha, the Kabbalah Saget, Miyad Baila, Visha Eina B'Teres Gitin V'Kiddushin. Because an Eved Kana'ani has no shaychus to Gitin. If an Eved would try to give a get to his own wife, it wouldn't be valid, because there's no such thing as him having a wife. An Eved can't be Mekadesh Anisha. A Shivcha Kana'anis cannot become a Kodesh. The whole parish of Kiddushin doesn't apply to Avadim. The Gemara derives that from a special pasuk in the second Kiddushin. So since an Eved Kana'ani has no connection whatsoever to the whole institution of Gittin Kiddushin, therefore an Eved Kana'ani couldn't serve as a Shaliach in the realm of Gittin of Kiddushin. So that's the Mefarish of Gemara in Gittin and Kiddushin. An Eina Eved Nasa Shaliach L'Kabbalah Saget Miyad Bayim. But there is a machlekes of Rishonim, just what exactly are the parameters of the halacha, which really highlights certain important considerations, considering shlichus in general. Rashi in Maseches Gittin, when the Gemara has the statement of Eina Eved Nasa Shaliach L'Kabbalah Saget Miyad Bayim, the Rashi says, even though Chazal gave the illustration of what we call a shliach l'kabbalah, that the woman is appointing a shliach to receive the get, Rashi says there would be no difference whether it's the shliach l'kabbalah or whether it's called the shliach l'halacha. We know that in Hilchos Gittin, there are two different types of shlichim. Either the woman can appoint the shliach to accept the get, or the man can appoint the shliach to deliver the get. One's called the shliach l'kabbalah, one's called the shliach l'halacha. So Rashi says, what's the difference? Well, the Gemara happens to pick on one case, but there's no difference between the two. What would the din be if a Baal wanted to appoint an Eved Kana'ani to deliver again? So Rashi says, Maishno, that's also no good. Because the halacha is you require a shliach to be betorah shlichus, bein legabe the woman shliach, bein legabe the husband shliach. So Rashi sounds like it's a simple, straightforward. What's the chiddush of Rashi? It's a tremendous chiddush of Rashi, because there are Rishonim who disagree with Rashi. The Rishonim quote in the name of the Rim Magash. The Rim Magash was a Talmud of the Rif. He was the Rebbe of the Rambam's father. So he was quite an illustrious, both in terms of his own credentials as well as his Rebbeim and his Talmidim. So the Rim Magash disagrees. The Rim Magash says it's not true. That the only time that the halacha requires that an Eved be Toras, that's only when he's serving as the shaliach of the woman. When he's serving as the shaliach of the man, then there's no requirement to be Toras. What kind of arbitrary distinction is that between whether he's representing the man, whether he's representing the woman? L'chari, you have to be Toras, get to be Kiddushin. How can that be, how can we make such a distinction? So the Avne Meluim, Hashem Shmaitz, of Alex Tezachoshen, suggests what's become the popular understanding according to the Rim Magash. The Rim Magash is really telling us that they are fundamentally, in terms of lamdas, that there are two different types of shlichim. Sometimes there's a shliach on the mere maisa, a shliach on the nesina, there's a shliach just on a physical act, and sometimes there's a shliach on a chalotz. There's a shliach whose role is not just to do the nitty-gritty of the physical deliverance of the get, but the shliach is creating the very essence of the chalotz, of the change in status of Yerushin. So says the Adi Beluim, according to the Rimagash, what exactly is the role of the shliach lahalacha? What exactly is the shliach lahalacha accomplishing? When I appoint a shliach lahalacha, so I'm handing him the get. So now what does he do? My handing the get, the shliach lahalacha, doesn't make the woman megareshes. The shliach's got to go travel 100 miles and bring the get to the woman. So the shliach has not, the etzem ha-shlichos has not really created a din of a chalos gerushin yet. So what do I need the shliach for? So the answer is because there's a din of nesinas haget, because there's a physical act that has to take place called nesinas haget. Let's say if I would put a get down on the floor and the wife would pick it up, and I didn't do an act of nesina. So even though the get started in my property and the get ended up in her property, but that's what's called by the Gemara tli gitech me'ogabe karka. If a person says to his wife, I don't want to hand you the get, I'm putting it down the floor, you pick it up in 10 minutes from now, so that's no good, because the halacha requires a physical nesina. So the role of the shaliach is to accomplish this physical nesina. If not for the fact of the parasha shlichos, if not for the chiddush of shlichos, so if I give the get to a shaliach, and the shaliach gives it to the wife, so then that would be like a tli gitech mel gamakar, because there was no physical nesina. So that's the whole role of the shaliach. Masha'inke, a shaliach lekabbalah is a different story. A shaliach lekabbalah, from the wife appoints the shaliach, and nothing happens. The shaliach is standing there, and the husband or the shaliach, the husband comes and delivers the get to the shaliach. At that moment, when the shaliach begins to act as a shaliach, the gerushin is chal. So the shaliach lekabbalah is wearing another hat. The shaliach lekabbalah is not just merely doing a physical act. The shaliach lekabbalah is a shaliach for the chalos of gerushin. So says the Avnei Miluim, when does the halacha require that you be b'teiris gittin v'kiddushin? That's when you're trying to accomplish a gittin v'kiddushin type of halacha. When you're trying to serve as a shaliach in hilchas gerushin, when the chalos of gerushin requires you to act as a shaliach, then and only then do you have to be b'teiris gittin v'kiddushin. When you're merely wearing the hat of a physical delivery, you're a mailman, you're not doing anything. You're just doing the physical mice of the seedus I get, but you're not doing the chalos gerushin, haraya. The get isn't chal until a woman receives it. You're holding on to the get for the next 6 months, but the get hasn't taken place yet. So your whole duration of your shalichos is a shalichos on a mice and a scene. It's not a shalichos on the chalos agerushin. And therefore the din of ena b'teiras doesn't apply. So a kopanim is a razzle-dazzle of shtichot Torah, but it highlights the fact that shalichos kam, which is a lot of different things. So we spoke in the previous year, sometimes shalichos, according to some, maybe transforms the shalich to become shalichos lam kemosa, literally to become like the person himself. We spoke about that possibility. We spoke about shalichos on maisim. We spoke about shalichos on chalosim, shalichos on mitzvahs, shalichos on averas. So now the Avnei Miluim is highlighting that at least according to some Rishonim, you have to further ask yourself, is this a shalichos just on a mere physical act, or is this a shalich on some kind of new halacha category, new halacha chalos, which is going to have enough kaminas who can serve as a shalich? But a kopanim, one thing is for sure, as we spoke about in the previous year, that there are certain individuals who are legally excluded from being shlichim. A goy is totally out of the parasha. Rebbe Kedat is not totally out of the parasha, but a goy is totally completely out of the parasha of being a shlich. Is there anybody else who also is excluded from the din of shlichos? So the Gemara says explicitly in many places that a katan, somebody under the age of bar mas mitzvah, is also excluded from being a shlich. In both directions, a katan cannot be a shlich, and a katan cannot appoint a shlich. And it's this second halacha that a katan cannot appoint a shlich, or I cannot serve as a shlich on behalf of a katan, which has potential ramifications, very real nafkaminas, the halacha for us. So comes the Gemara in Maseches Bar Mitzi in the first parak, and has a potential corollary of this statement that a katan cannot appoint a shliach. So usually when we think about appointing a shliach, we're thinking about two live people, talking about I'm a shliach and there's a shliach, so he's Jewish, he's Jewish, I'm appointing you, you become a shliach, etc. That's normal shlichus. That's the shlichus we've been talking about for the last 3 weeks. And then there's a very, very different type of potential shlichus. That's when the Gemara raises the following very, very lumdish question. There is a din in the Torah that if I want to give you something, either a get or a kedushin or even make a chamem give, want to sell you something, want to give you a gift, so I don't have to hand it directly to you. The Torah says v'nosen biyado. You don't have to give the get directly into the hand of the woman. The Mishnah says in the beginning of the 8th parak of Gittin, you can put it into the chotzer, into the rishus of the woman as well. If a husband writes a get and doesn't give it to his wife's hands, he puts it into her backyard, assuming that she has a backyard. The Gemara raises the question, how does she own property? Does everything she owns, he owns? That's already a technical momentous question. But assuming we could find something that belongs to her, so the Mishnah says the favor, so you don't have to hand it into her hand, you can just put it into her backyard and put it into her property, and that's okay. Kid Nechatzer. Kid Nechatzer works for Gittin, for Kedushin, for Mechiris, for Matanis, for Kolotar Kula. There's no need to actually physically deliver into the person's hand, you can just put it into that property. So the Gemara raised a very, very long Shashayla in Maseches B'Metzias. It's like an Acharonish, a Chakira, but it's a Farish in the Gemara. The Gemara says, what's the nature of that halacha that I can give something B'Teres Chotzer to somebody? How do we understand that? So the Gemara says there are one of two possibilities. Either we say that Chiddush HaTorah, that Chotzer works, it's based on a Pasuk in Chumash, that Chotzer works, Chotzer is B'Teres Yad. That means what the Torah is telling me is that Chotzer is just an extension of my hand, even though the Torah says V'nosen B'Yada. So the Torah Shemapeh, the Halacha Mashma Sina of Chotzer, comes and tells us that Yad doesn't mean literally physical Yad. It's like Rashi says in Parshas Chukas, Vayikachas kol atzo miyado. It says that they took all the land from Sichon, from his hand. What do you mean? Sichon was holding the property in his hand. So miyado means b'shuso. Miyado means an extended definition of yado, but basically it's yad. When a person gives a get to his wife, it doesn't really make a difference whether he's putting it into her hand or whether he's putting it into her chotzer. Chotzer is bitam yad. Chotzer is kind of based on an extension of the principle of yad. Well, then the Gemara says, no, maybe that's not the Pshat of Chotzer. Maybe Yad is Yad. Yad means my hand. Doesn't mean anything more or less than my hand. So how in the world does Chotzer work? So the Gemara says, Chotzer is mitam shliach nisrabah. Just as there's a din that I can appoint a shliach to accept the get on my behalf, just as I can appoint a shliach to accept kedushin, I can appoint a shliach to accept the matana, mechir, etc. So too, I can quote unquote appoint my chotzer. My chotzer is serving as my representative. My chotzer is serving as my agent. It's my shliach, and the chotzer has the ability to act on my behalf. It's not my yad. It's not my hand. It's my shliach. Just as shluch shalom kemoso, so a chotzer equals a shliach, and chatzeru shalom kemoso as well. A very, very lumdish, seemingly academic shaila. What's the very essence? What's the nature of this din? That chatzer is ladum kaina. That chatzer is good for a get. The fact that the din exists, that's a beferish mishnah. The Gemara derives it from Sukkim. It's a din derai. There's no question. We pass it off as gittin based on the assumption that chatzer is a valid way of the woman acquiring the get. What was unclear in the Gemara is what's the lumdus? Is it based on it's a yad of a person? It's just an extended hand of a person? Or do we say, no, it works within the boundaries, within the guidelines of Ilchus Shlichus? So the Gemara says, minor kavina. Who cares? Whether it's this and that. At the end of the day, it works. What's his nachat? A tremendous nachkamin in the following. Let's say a person is married to a girl who's under the age of 12. How could that happen? He was Makadosh, or gave Kesef Kedushin to her father. So now she's Makadosh. She's a nation's ish on a level of Viraisa. So he's married to this 10-year-old girl. Now he wants to divorce her. So how does he go about divorcing her? So the din is he gives her a get. He puts a vinos in the other. How can you do that? She's a lav bazdas. She doesn't have the ability to make halachic decisions. So the answer is, well, get is the exception to the rule. Because for get, you don't have to be a bazdas. Like we spoke about on Friday night, technically speaking, in a Torah, you can divorce a woman even against her will. Not that you're supposed to, not that it's a nice thing to do, but technically speaking, you can divorce a woman even be al korach. You don't require her das. When it comes to kedushin, then you require das isha. When it comes to gerushin, you don't require das isha. So the Mishnah is in Masechet Gittin said explicitly that you can be Megarish, a woman, I have to call her a woman, a little girl, even before she becomes technically halachic bazdas. She has to understand what's going on. Let's say she's 2 years old and you hand her get, and she thinks she's so excited she got a birthday card. So the Mishnah says that's no good. She has to have a yediyah. She has to understand what's flying. That's a different halacha. But in terms of being a halachic bazdas, there's no need in the Torah for this girl to have any das for gerushin. But the Rabbanan, there's a chayim of Rabbeinu Gershom. The Gershom and the Takani are not allowed to divorce a woman against her will. It's not a right thing to do. But technically speaking, in the Torah, that would be valid. So the Gemara says the Feirish that if you would hand the get into our hand, put it into our hand, then the gerushin would be chal. But what's the din if you don't put it into our hand, but you put it into our chotzer? This 10-year-old girl, she's very rich, she's got her own backyard. So I put it into her backyard, I put it on her swing set. So what's the din? Is the get chal, is the get not chal? So what's the shahal? It depends. If you hold that chotzer is mitam yad, that chotzer is like literally putting it into our hand, so just as putting it into our hand would be effective, so too putting it into our chotzer would be effective as well. But if you hold that chotzer is mitam shliach, that the whole institution of chotzer is predicated on the assumption that you can appoint the shliach, so just as the person can appoint the shliach, the chotzer can effectively be a shliach on their behalf, so that would be a problem. That would raise a red flag for a chotzer or a ketana, because we just said before that a chotzer and a ketana are not shaykh to shlichus. A chotzer cannot appoint a shliach. If a chotzer appoints a shliach to be mafish tshuva, it doesn't work. A chotzer appoints a shliach to sell property, it doesn't work. So a chotzer is not subject to the din of shlichus. So says the Gemara, if a chotzer can't appoint a shliach, then the corollary of that is that a chotzer wouldn't be able to have a chotzer either. So that's what the Gemara leaves us hanging. A whole complicated sugya back and forth in the Gemara, trying to figure out what seemed to be a very theoretical lumdish question, whether the nature of the din of chotzer is a subcategory of yad, or whether chotzer is a subcategory of shlichos. The chapsen of gemina for a person who has a yad, ba'yiktan has a yad vis-a-vis gerushin, because you don't need the has, but she doesn't have the ability to appoint the shliach. So what would the din be? That's what the Gemara leaves us hanging. So the Chara wants us to take a step back and ask ourselves, do we really understand this Gemara? The Gemara says that if a Chotzer or a Ketana doesn't have Shalichos, then by definition they wouldn't have Chotzer, if Chotzer is really Bitam Shalich. So there is a machlokes between a very illustrious father and son, between Rabbi Akiva Eiger and his son of Shlomo Eiger, about how to understand the nature of the din that a katan can have a shaliach. The Gemara never quotes a pasuk for this, never quotes a mocha. The Gemara just says it in 20 different places in Shas. A katan, of course a katan can have a shaliach. What's shaliach for a katan to have a shaliach? Why not? Conceptually, why can't the katan have a shaliach? Let's say a katan owns property. He wants to sell that property, so he appoints a shaliach to do that. What is fundamentally flawed with the notion of a katan appointing a shaliach? Well, let's say in the case of a get, let's say the 10-year-old girl, she would appoint a shaliach to receive her get. What's the problem? Why can't she appoint a shaliach to receive her get on her behalf? What's the issue? So Kivega suggests that maybe the chisar, maybe the reason why a katan cannot appoint a shaliach is because a katan is a lav bardas. We know that a katan doesn't have the ability to do anything in aloha. A katan can't be a kaddish anisha, a katan can't sell things himself, a katan can't make a chalois. So Kivega says, when you appoint a shaliach, there are requires a level of das. The minui hashlichus requires das. I can't have a minui shlichus without my das. Let's say a person decides that they're going to act as my shaliach without me appointing them. That doesn't make any sense. How could you have a shlichus without a minui shlichus? How can you have a minui shlichus without the agreement of the person who's being mamadah, without the agreement of the mishalech? So Bikivega says that you don't really need a pasuk to tell me that ain't shlichus for katan. It's obvious ain't shlichus for katan. Of course you can't have a shlichus for katan, because you don't have the very ABCs, the very basic principle of shlichus is predicated on the assumption there's a minui shlichus. A minui shlichus requires das. The male of katan can't appoint a shlichus. So Bikivega says there's no gemara that says, but not immediately. How do you know that a katan can't appoint a shlichus? So let's move on, may love. How could he possibly have a shliach if he can't have a minish shlichus? That was a Riki Vegas suggestion. So his son, Rav Shlomo Eiger, asked his father. He said, no, it can't be true. That's not the pshat. It can't be that the chisaron, that the deficiency of shlichus, the katan, is based on the inability to have a minish shlichus. Says Rav Shlomo Eiger, this Gemara of Mitzia disproves his father, right? Says chotzer, even if you know that chotzer is mitam shlichus, you don't require a minu shlichus for that. Imagine, let's say you hold like that opinion that every chotzer is based on the principle of shlichus. So that would mean that before I invoke kiddin chotzer, I would have to go to my backyard and say, I'm hereby appointing you to my swing set, I'm appointing my backyard to serve as my shlichus. So like Sanos says that. Even if you know that chotzer is mitam shlichus, it's a type of shlichus that doesn't require minu shlichus. So ask him, Shlomo Eiger, his father, if you're going to tell me that the whole chisaron of ein shlichus hakatan is predicated on the fact that ein minui hakatan, that a katan can't appoint a shliach, but this Gemara disproves you, because here the Gemara says ein shlichus hakatan in a type of a shlichus that never requires a minui shlichus in the first place. So you see from here, says Rav Shlomo Eiger, that the din of ein shlichus hakatan is not based on an inability to be mamana shliach; it must be based on exeris hakatan. There's got to be some pasuk out there, some chiddush Torah that a katan is no shaychus to shlichus, whether he can be mamana, can't be mamana, whether you need minui, you don't need minui. It's irrelevant that a katan ein shlichus hakatan. Similar to like we spoke about last week, ein shlichus 2 weeks ago, ein shlichus liyakum. Just as there's no shlichus for a goy is a bar das. A goy has the ability to theoretically appoint a shlich, but the Torah was never mechadish, the dinim of shlichus for a goy. So just as the Gemara was never mechadish, dinim of shlichus for a goy, so the Torah was never mechadish, the dinim of shlichus for a katan. It's not a technical inability of minu shlichus, proof positive, the Gemara of Mitzia, that even in a type of shlichus like Chatzia, which never required a meeting in the first place, still a Kotzer is excluded from. That was the ride that Shlomo Hager brought. So the problem is we don't know what the response of his father was, because Rabbi Kivagur in his Chedushim Masach Ksubis writes up Ishtukot Torah to explain, that's a whole other sugya, that the whole reason of the Kotzer can't have a shlichus is because of Chesed in the Minish Shlichus. So in the, after Rabbi Kivagur Ishtukot Torah, there's a parenthesis from his son that says that I asked my father about, so what do you do with this Gemara of Mitzia? He never says what his father answered. He never tells you what the result was. I know, that's Archid. I remember at the Rav's Levaya, so a Rav Aaron said, are you around there? Are you Rav Aaron? Okay. So remember at the Rav Aaron Salvechik said, you were there? One of the things I remember, he said the relationship that the Rav and his father, Rav Moshe Salvechik, had as a Rebbe, a Talmud, father and son, was something which we haven't seen the likes of since the days of Kiveg and Shlomo Hager. I remember that mashal he said. He said that Kiveg and Shlomo Hager were known to be not just father and son, they were chavrusas for many, many years. So he says, that type of a Rebbe, Talmud, father-son relationship is something that maybe has been unheard of since the period of Rebbe Kiveg. That was his mashal. Okay. So one of the many things that the father and son spoke about was this particular sugi in Bavitzia. The other problem is we don't have the other half. We don't know what the father responded to his son. Let's get back to the story, but one thing is clear from the Gemara that if you hold that Chatzar is Mitam Shlichus, we're not necessarily committing to that opinion, but if you hold that Chatzar is Mitam Shlichus, so then the corollary of that is, whoever can't have a Shliach, so then would it be able to have a Kinyan Chatzar as well?
No, it's because today it's understood you use a delivery service, it does get delivered.
Right, so the question is, you need a formal shlichus. Let's say, I'm sending you a package, I'm sending you something, so do you need a formal shlichus? You say, no, he's not my shliach, he's just physically delivering it when he gets into your house, and you pick it up, and you hold on to it, then the kinyan is going to be effective. So you very often don't need formal shlichus. The shliach is performing what we sometimes call an halacha ma'isa koyf bi'amla. That means he's just walking with the object. He's carrying. We don't want to say that too loud. He's just walking with the object, but he's not halachically accomplishing anything. So that's what the poskim say. The poskim discussed this in great detail. But gittin, they used to have an issue in Europe. You had to deliver gittin long distance, and sometimes it was dangerous. People there. The question is, can you appoint a postman, appoint the mailman to deliver again? So the mailman can't be a formal shaliach to deliver. I'd say the mailman's Jewish, he can. But let's say I give the get to a goyish mailman. Let's say, okay, you travel 500 miles and you deliver it to my wife. So that's for sure no good. The goy can't be a shaliach. But maybe what we can do is as follows. Maybe we can have the mailman bring the get 500 miles and hand it over to a shaliach over there, to a shaliach l'alocha over there, and then that shaliach l'alocha will deliver the get to my wife. So maybe that's okay, because the mailman is not serving as a shliach, the mailman is just serving as a delivery service. So that's a whole discussion in Poskim about how to use the mail, how to deliver get into the mail. That was a common issue in Europe.
If you said that the Eved Kanani, who really couldn't finish the act, could do it, so in that sense he is like a goy, because he can't complete it. So then why couldn't the delivery service do the same thing, or the...
No, he could do up to the point of the actual delivery. I mean, he could be the Maisa Kofi Alma, that maybe he could be, but to be the one to make the, to give the final blow of giving the get to the wife,
they
have to be a
kosher. He couldn't do that either, he'd also have to give it to somebody.
So that was Machlokes Rashi and the Rimagash. And that's Machlokes. According to the Rimagash, the Eved Kanani could give it, but according to Rashi, even the Eved Kanani couldn't do that, right?
So according to the Rimagash, the Gentile postman also.
No, he's worse than an Eved Kanani. Okay. See, an Eved Kanani can be a Shaliach, it's just that he has to be. It's a problem of in a betoras, whereas a goy is not even in the parsha being shlichot together. Okay. So, anyways, getting back to the story. So, one thing is clear for the Gemara, whether Kiveg or Shlomeg, whatever the lumdus is, the bottom line is the Gemara says beferish that if you hold that chatzur is mitam shliach, then anybody who can't be a shliach, by definition, can't have a shliach, wouldn't be able to have a kinyan chatzur as well. So, the Gemara is talking about vis-a-vis a kotan. So, those shalas don't come up too often for us. Who most katanim don't have chatzeres anyway, so we're not going to deal too much with that shayla. But the question is, does this have application out of the realm of katan? So there is a chiddush of one of the gedolei acharonim. It was the Birchas HaZevach. He wrote a whole bunch of svarim. One of them was the sefer Maseches Zevachim. So that was called the Birchas HaZevach. So he became known as the Birchas HaZevach. So one of the early acharonim, the Birchas HaZevach, puts two and two together. He connects the dots of everything we said up to now. We said that a katan can't have a shliach. We said last year that a goy can't have a shliach. And the Gemara of Metzia says, well, whoever can't have a shaliach can't have a kid in chater. So just connect all the dots. A goy, therefore, cannot have a kid in chater. So that was the birchas of chedesh, that if I want to give something to a goy, if I want a goy to be kona something, so I have to give it to the goy's hands. Because the same way that the goy couldn't appoint a shaliach, the goy couldn't appoint a chater either. Well, not literally a point, but the goy wouldn't be able to have a chater effective on his behalf. That's what the birchas of Zevach said. So it sounds like a very innocent statement. Sounds like, okay, very nice. Next time a goy comes and asks us, so the answer is the charana, might have kamina for us. So comes the ketzos and says, 2 points against the birchas zevach. First of all, he says that he's not right. He says that's against the beferish gemara. He says there's a gemara tucked away in the end of Maseches Avodah Zarah that speaks about what's called kinyan kalev. It's a din that let's say I want to give you something, and I put it into your utensil, I put it into your kli. So the gemara says, kalev shalom is kind of low. So the rishonim explained, why is kalev shalom kind of low? I didn't put it into your hand, I didn't put it into your chotzer. So the answer is, that's like your chotzer. What does chotzer mean? Chotzer means property. So my nafkamina, whether it's your karka, whether it's your Talitlin, the property belongs to you, so your property is going on your behalf. So let's say a common situation of a kinyan chotzer, a car. I want to give you a gift, so I put it into your car. So that's kinyan. That's a kinyan chotzer. Kelush ladim kinyan lei, just like a kinyan chotzer is kinyan. So there's a gemara in the end of Avodah Zarah that speaks about a kinyan of a kelov, even vis-a-vis a goy. It wasn't a whole discussion about yayin nesach, about I have wine, it's treif, and I want it to belong to the goy before I get hanof from an whole story. So in the middle of that discussion, the gemara assumes that a goy does have a kinyan kelov. So comes the and says, oh, you see that a goy has a kinyan kalev, that means by definition a goy has a kinyan chotzer as well. So you see that the birchas zevach, shtichut Torah is not right. That even though a katan can't have a kinyan chotzer, perhaps this chotzer is mitam shliach, but a goy is different. So you have to explain conceptually why, but those are the facts on the ground. So I'll explain to you alum this another time, but these are the facts. That even though a katan can't have a kinyan chotzer, a goy can in fact have a kinyan chotzer. The Ketzos tries to show you why in fact that's true. So the birchas zevach doesn't address that gemara. I'm not sure how we would explain it with that gemara, but the bottom line is about chalikas a later charonim. What's the din? Does a goy have a kinyan chotzer or not? According to the birchas zevach, based on everything we said in the last two shiurim, a goy does not have a kinyan chotzer because chotzer is mitam shliach, and a goy doesn't have shlichos. And put everything together, a goy doesn't have a kinyan chotzer. And the Ketzos says it's not true that a goy does have a kinyan chotzer, and you have to explain away what cut and a goy are different. So the question is, who cares? How many goyim are coming and running to ask us whether they have a kinyan chotzer or not? So who cares? We care. It becomes very, very important for us in the following discussion. So there is a rush in the beginning of Maseches Bechoros that begins to discuss this question. Maybe. The rush is addressing the following problem. We know that if a Jew owns owns an animal that hasn't yet given birth, it's about to give birth to his firstborn, and the firstborn may be a Zohar, he's going to have a big problem on his hand called Bechor Behemoth Tahora. Even though we don't have a base of Mikdash, it doesn't matter, the Bechor still has Kedusha to it, and that's a big problem, because there's nothing you can do with it. You're not allowed to shecht it until it gets a mum. You're not allowed to make it get a mum. You're not allowed to work with it. You're not allowed to shear its wool. It's like deraisa galore. So it's a very, very complicated story. But the last thing we want to have is a Bechor Behemoth Tahora running around. So because of this problem, the Rishonim already instituted a practice, it's already based in the Gemara, the beginning of Bechor, that what we do is, Bizman HaZeh, we circumvent the din of a Bechor by selling a share of the animal, share of the mother, to the goy before the animal is actually born. Because the din is, the only time that Kedusha of Bechor kicks in is if the mother belongs completely to a Jew. But if the first Mishnah Bechor speaks about Shutfas Akram, if you have an animal that's partially owned by a goy, even a very small part of the animal, that's Mafkiya Kedusha of Bechor. So this has been the practice for hundreds and thousands of years, that we circumvent the entire Kedusha of Bechor by selling part of the animal to a goy. So the question is, how do you do that, practically speaking? How do you go about selling an animal to a goy? So the Rosh refers you to Machlekes Rashi and Tosfos in Bava Metzia and in Kedushin about, technically speaking, how does a goy acquire metaltolin from a Jew? So one opinion in the Rishonim is that a goy acquires metaltolin through kinyan kesef. That the goy pays for it. He gives you a dollar for a part of the animal and it belongs to them. And the other opinion in the Rishonim is, no, that the goy acquires it by picking it up, by lifting it up, by moving, by doing mashikh or hagbah on the animal. So Machlekes Rishonim. So the Rosh says sometimes it's not very practical to do mashikh or hagbah. Say I'm 100 miles away, I realize that my animal's about to give birth, and quickly I want to sell it chick-chack to the guy. How am I going to do that? So according to those Rishonim who say that kesef is sufficient, so okay, so if kesef is sufficient, like Rashi Shita, kesef is good enough, so then good, the guy gives me a nickel and shine, the whole deal's over. But according to Rabbi Tam, that you have to pick up the animal, I'm not here, the guy's not here, the animal's not here, I have 100 animals, it's not going to happen so fast. So how do you do it? How could you possibly make a deal to make it more efficient rather than having to do mashicha on the animals? Is there an easier way to be kona the animal, for the goy to be kona the animal, thereby being mafkiya kedushas b'chor? So the Rosh comes up with some solution, but it's unclear what the solution was. So the Rosh says, no problem. He says, rather than trying to physically pick up an animal, the animal's sitting somewhere. The animal's sitting in a barn. So the Rosh says, why don't you sell the barn to the goy? Now, a barn is very easy to sell because a barn is karka. Well, you just sell that place in the barn where the animal is standing. So that's easy. Karka, we know the Mishnah says in condition karka dikna b'kesef. So the goy, the Jew and the goy over here, the animal and the barn are 100 miles away. Let the goy give you a nickel, not on behalf of the animal, because if he's trying to buy the animal, that's going to become very complicated because buying an animal may not be effective to kinyan kesef. So let him buy the barn from you. And once he's buying the barn, then he's going to own the animal, mamela. That's what the Rosh says. The question, what does that mean exactly? What is the Rosh? What kind of solution is that? That he's going to give you a nickel for the barn, and then all hocus pocus is going to own the animal. So comes the Birchas HaZevach and says, the Rosh cannot be referring to Kinyan Chotzer. The Rosh cannot mean that, well, you're going to own the barn, and then the halacha is that once I own property, then I can be machna something to you with the Kinyan Chotzer. But that can't be the pshat of the Rosh, says the Birchas HaZevach, based on what I just told you, that a goy doesn't have a kinyan chotzer, since a goy doesn't have shlichus, and there's ain shlichus bi'achum, and chotzer may be bitam shlichus, so kinyan chotzer is not going to be the effective kinyan. So what in the world was the Rosh talking about? So the Birchas HaZevach says he was referring to another Mishnah, Mishnah Maseches Kedushin, called the Kinyan Aga. There is a halacha that if at the same time that I sell you karka, I'm selling you metaltalin, then there's no need to make kinyan on the metaltalin. The metaltalin, according to Safiq in the Gemara, but the Gemara's conclusion is the metaltalin don't even have to be sitting on the karka. I want to sell you a field in China, and I want to sell you a car in America. So we just make a kinyan on the karka, you give me a nickel for the karka, and hocus pocus, agav, just as you're calling the karka, the metaltalin nickname agav the karka, even though the metaltalin aren't even sitting on the karka, that's a chiddush called a kinyan agav, how that works. The rice and the rabbanon already, not for now. Maybe that'll be another one of the shas topics about kinyan agav. But the bottom line is there's a principle called kinyan agav. There's nothing to do with kinyan chotzer, but it has to be simultaneous. It has to be at the same moment that I'm selling you the karka, agav the karka, I'm selling you the metaltalin. So the Birchas HaZevach says that's what the Rosh is driving at. Because if the Rosh meant it's based on Kinyan Chotzer, Kinyan Chotzer would be ineffective because Ein Chotzer Ha'akom. So the Ketzos disagrees with the Birchas HaZevach, says, no, it's not true. The Ketzos, based on other considerations, says, Agav's not going to work here. And Shantay says, I'll story why Agav's not going to work here. Says the Ketzos, it's based on a Kinyan Chotzer. It's based on the fact that whatever's in my property, so if I say to you, I want to give you something and it's in my property, so it belongs to the Kona. So says the Ketzos, I is a goy. Says the Ketzos, so what? I just got finished proving to you from Avodah Zarah that a goy does have a kinyan chotzer. So I ain't lo shlichus. So shlichus lechon chotzer lechon. It's not the same as a chotzer. So the bottom line is the Birchas HaZevach and the Ketzos have machleik is how to explain what the mechanics are, what's going on in that rush. The Rosh Bechoris gave us this great grandiose scheme how to get around the technical problems of a kinyan for a goy, but we're not sure what the solution was. Was the solution based on kinyan chotzer? Was the solution based on kinyan akav? They're two very, very different, radically different kinyanim. So how does this play out for us, Lamaisa? So most of us are not selling Bechor Behem Torah, except for Rabbi Weil, who wants to sell Bechor Behem Torah for, but most of us don't have farms and animals. So how does this play out for us? So the Poskim write that whatever the Rishonim developed as methods of selling Bechor Behem Torah apply for us for Mechiras Chometz. When we sell Chometz to a guy, so how do we do that? So how does the Chometz belong to the guy? So the guy gives me a Kinyan Kesef, he gives you a quarter for the Chometz. But according to half to Rishonim, that's meaningless. The guy doesn't have a Kinyan Kesef. So what do we do? So we try to invoke other kinyanim as well. So in theory, the best thing to do is the guy to come and pick up all the chametz. Guy's going to come to everybody's house, come knock, and John Brown's going to come knock on everyone's door, everyone's pizza store, and pick up every piece of dough, every bottle of schnapps. That's not practical. So we have to think of other types of kinyanim. So the post can point out, well, let's invoke this rush. Let's do what the rush said. But what did the Rosh say? Did the Rosh say Kinyan Chatzah? Did the Rosh say Kinyan Agav? That was the Mechalik Zabich Zazevach and the Ketzos. So what we do is both. So when we sit down with the Goy and we sell him the Chometz, so what we do is we say to the Goy, we're selling you or we're renting to you, whatever we do in terms of the Chatzah. We're giving you the closet or the space where the Chometz is there. And then we're being mocked at you, Agav, that area, Agav, we're selling to the Chometz as well. That's to fulfill the opinion of the Birchas HaZevach, that you have to invoke it in Agav. And then we're also saying, And besides Kinyan Agav, what we're also doing is a Kinyan Chotzer to support the view of the Ketzels. Because it happens to be that the Birch HaZevach holds that Chotzer is no good, and the Ketzels holds on technical grounds that Agav is no good. So each one of them disqualify the Kinyan of the other. Each one holds the other's Kinyan is not effective for a Goy. So we want to cover stuff at all bases. So we write this long shtar explaining to the Goy what's going on. So in that shtar, we spell this. We don't give them the Marmakimus of Agav and Chotz. We don't show them the Sigis and Bav Metzia, but we basically spell out in legal American legal terms that we're invoking a Kenyan agav, a acquisition by dint of something. I think that's the official legal term for agav, by dint. Ray Wilk loves that word. Every time we get to that line in the Shtar, he always stops and reads it and tells everyone that all the lawyers approved of it by dint. I never heard the word before. So that's what agav means. And then we also write, we describe in English in the legal wording, a Kenyan chatzar as well. So we try to cover ourselves on all bases. So how do we get into this mess? How do we get into this balkan of a chatzar and agav? It all came from this Gemara. It all came from the sugyas of chatzar, of shlichas, and chatzar, of katan, and gayim, etc. So we I can't say we totally make a seam on the sugyas of shlichas, but we pretty much finished a unit in terms of shlichas. What I want to mention next week to continue with a different topic. It's a topic called Zochen D'Adam Shalom B'Fanov, which it's a natural progression from the sugya of shlichas, because according to Lee Summershonim, the Zechias Mitam Shlichos. So we'll hopefully continue with that point, and some of the principles that we've developed over the last 4 or 5 weeks in terms of Shlichos are going to hopefully help us in terms of understanding the lomdus of the Sugis of Zoch, and the fun of doing things on behalf of other people without the formal guidelines of Shlichos, and how some of this plays out in the Maisa for us as well. So.